Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, musicians, and comedians that perform here and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what makes our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Don Davis Womack.
Hello, laughers. Today we have the pleasure of bringing back comedian Winston Hodges. By way of Richmond, Winston has become DC's premier comic and an X2 fan fave. Fans literally mark their calendars when they see he's coming back again. He's known for his high energy storytelling style and his ability to turn the most mundane aspects of life into hilarious material. He's toured all over the East Coast, showcasing his Southern charm and edgy wit. His clips have been viewed a combined 4 million times. His award-winning special, Grieving Productively, is available on YouTube, and his label debut album, Already Aware, is available on Apple, Spotify, and Amazon. Winston has opened for Dimitri Martin, Brian Regan, Mark Norman, and Dave Attell, to name a few. A lot has happened since he was last on the show, so today we'll explore insights and exciting updates in his comedy career, including his upcoming performances inside Melrose Civil War Caverns for Cave Comedy Fest. Welcome to the show, Winston. It's great to have you on today.
Yeah, thanks for having me back. I'm excited to be back. It's been a while.
Too long, I say. I actually looked back, Winston, and the last time you were on the show was our first year doing this podcast in July 2021, right?
Wow.
That is a while.
Wow. With Joel, almost 2 years.
Almost 2 years. Too long.
Yeah.
And that was with Joel Byers on episode number 16.
Jeez. Was that leading up to the show we did together?
Yes. I believe that was Cross Keys.
That's wild. That I can't believe that show was almost 2 years ago.
I know. Time flies.
Yeah, it does.
That was an incredible show.
Yeah, that show's one of the best ones I've ever gotten to do. That was really fun.
We feel samesies about that one, for sure. It was a lot of fun. And then this year, the podcast celebrated its 100th episode, I believe in February. I know. Ooh, clap for that.
There you go.
So yeah, it's definitely been a minute. So I'm really looking forward to getting into this.
Yeah.
Your talents and professionalism are seriously among the best in the industry.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
I'll take it. Thank you.
Yes, I highly recommend producers and promoters. I highly recommend. So it's been really fun to watch your journey. And I'm excited to just ask you a bunch of questions.
Yeah.
All right, let's do this.
Let's go for it.
Let's go. You made a shift doing comedy full time during COVID and you moved to DC from Richmond.
Yeah.
So how long have you officially been in DC now?
Yeah, I've been in the DC area. It'll be like, honestly, when we do this, the cave shows, it'll be 3 years because I moved in July of 2020. So I moved like right towards the beginning of COVID. So yeah, it'll be coming up on 3 years for me in the DC area.
Wow.
Yeah.
How is this even possible? That's just crazy.
It's crazy. It's gone by so fast.
It has. It seems like it's been a really great move for you though, for your career.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I wanted to ask, how would you describe the comedy scene in DC?
Well, DC, I think, it's a great comedy city. There's a bunch of really good comedy clubs and a lot of really good independent producers. And there's a ton of, you can get up on open mics every night of the week. I've been really lucky. There's a lot of really, really, really good comics up here. So it makes you get better by being on the same shows as them. And you're just, when you're surrounded by some of the best comics, I think it really brings the best out of you. And it's been really good for my career being based out of here. I've gotten a lot more opportunities than I had access to when I was living outside of Richmond.
Yeah, I would. Well, it's evident.
So, yeah.
Pair that with your talent. It's going a long way. Would you say the comedy community in DC you know, spends time outside of shows together or gives each other advice, helpful information.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say that. Yeah. I think it's, you know, people hang out with their friends. It's a pretty tight knit community and there's, you know, different groups. People, you know, some people are better friends with other people, but, I mean, comics are pretty good about, like, at least up here when you're hanging out, you can, if people are open to notes or you want to talk about new jokes. And I mean, I'm moving to a new, still in the same area, but I'm, you know, getting a new apartment in July. But I mean, I've been living with three other comedians for the last 2 years. And the year before that I was living with two other ones. And so comedy just always comes up and people are always trying to help each other get better and stuff like that. So DC is a really good positive scene. It's a great place to be.
Yeah, I'm wondering, as you're talking, is there any particular insight or insights that you've received from your fellow comics that you feel has made a big impact on your journey?
Almost all the, since I've been in, at least in the DC area, like I've gotten tons of great advice and stuff, being, you know, too much to even, you know, recount or say, like, you know, people, people have been really kind to me, and I've had comics even from when I've started, like my buddy Chris Allen, who when I met him, I'd only been doing comedy a couple weeks and he'd been doing it about 5 years and had just moved to the area, and a bunch of other like really good headliners and stuff have given me a lot of good notes. But I would say that probably the biggest one, or the ones that have been the biggest help, is like in DC, I have a lot of friends who are more involved in the social media side than stand-up. And so just like being a person that's very, I'm very stand-up first. Like I care about my stand-up comedy more than the other aspects of comedy or marketing myself. But being surrounded by people that have a really good knowledge and are understanding of like how you should, you know, post every day and like how to edit clips and stuff, and just trying to, you know, give me the push I needed to like, because I used to not post clips at all, and now I do it all the time. So advice on that type of stuff has been like the most helpful, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think before the show, well, I don't think I know, before the show you were mentioning about, before we recorded, I should say, you were mentioning how there are fans that you have gotten from social media that now do come to the show. So it sounds like it's
working.
Yeah,
it's weird. It's weird to have people that like me enough to like show, because it's just, you know, you just are at a point where it's like, it's not like I'm, you know, famous or huge or anything, but then you got people that say, hey, like I did a show like a month or two ago, like right after my social media started to really pick up some steam, and they're like, hey, who's seen this guy on Instagram? And like 15 people clap, and I was like, oh man, 15 people came because they saw me online. That's so, you know, it was a really cool feeling. Like even in the I think when I sent you the intro or whatever, I was so like proud or whatever, where I was like, oh man, I've been viewed over 4 million times. And then in the last 2 months, it's been like exponentially more than that, just from, you know, just from posting every day and like keeping on top of it and trying to post good content. So it's been really validating and rewarding, because when I used to post and no one would watch it, it would be very demoralizing to post something that I think is very funny and find out 12 people agreed.
Well, what do you think is the difference then? Is it frequency from before to now?
Yeah, I think it's frequency. Okay. I think it's, I got a nicer camera. It turns out that the quality of the video is important. It turns out that it doesn't matter how funny it is if it looks like, you know, it's running on 280p or whatever on a, you know, Windows from like 99, that people aren't gonna, you know, care about it. So I got a nicer camera, and then just the consistently posting, and then not, you know, because I still have a ton of videos that get like no views, and then just being like, it's okay if if I post 10 videos and 9 of them get like a few thousand and the 10th one does really well, that's all that matters. Because I used to be like, I'd have a string of like 15 in a row, not do anything. And I'm like, I can't keep, it feels like bombing. I was like, I can't keep bombing the billions of people. It hurts.
Self-love.
Yeah. But I would say the consistency, and then just like, you know, finding just trying to find a way to like have posting give me joy, and I'm just more excited about posting. And that just comes from like posting clips that I like, and I like having nicer video. It looks professional. I'm like, oh, this looks good. And then just when a video does really well, just like, you know, internalizing it and being mindful and just kind of enjoying like, oh man, this video is doing really well, because you never know when that stops. So I'm going to enjoy it while I can.
Yeah. I'm curious, what kind of camera did you get?
I got a Panasonic GH6, which is a really nice camera, expensive, but not like, you know, you don't have to put a mortgage on your house. You know, you don't have to put a lien on your house. You have to take out a second mortgage to get the, to get it. But it is real, like, right? Yeah, but it, you know, it's a, and it looks nice and it looks crisp. And yeah, I really like the camera, and I'm still learning how to use it. So it's going to look even better, because it looks great and I have no idea what I'm doing with it. So, so I can't imagine how good it's going to look if it was operated by somebody that was competent with the video.
I know. We're as comedians, we're having to learn all this technology.
I know. I did comedy because I hate school, and now I'm doing homework all the time, trying to learn how to do stuff just so I can keep doing comedy. But
I know what you mean. And what do you use to edit your video? What software do you use?
Yeah, I need to change that too, because I'm just using iMovie. I use the free thing that they give me just because I know how to use it. But I think that's going to be the next, you know, I've got my budget set out. So the next money that comes in that I save and put towards whatever the next like a business expense is, I'm going to probably upgrade to either Final Cut Pro or Adobe Premiere, just one of those nice editing programs that make it easier. Like, I'm sure I'll get it and then I won't know what I'm doing, and then I'll learn how to do it and be like, oh man, I can't believe I was using iMovie for the last 5 years.
I know what you mean. I just put together this portable podcast setup, and I went to a music store to get set up for it.
Yeah.
They're the best with sound. They would know what they're talking about. And they did set me up with it, but then it was this new piece of equipment I had no idea what it's doing.
Yeah. Yeah, no clue. I think I'm going to take a class for my camera, because there's a place that offers a class, and I'm going to go in and pay them several hundred dollars to tell me things that I probably could have learned if I just had paid any attention in college to anything at all. But
we're figuring it out. I figured it out too. You know,
yeah, we're
Laffers,
doing it.
Yeah, we're doing it. Laffers, if you want to listen to the first portable podcast setup, that was just episode 114 at Marceline Vineyards.
Nice.
Ended up drinking extra wine, trying to figure it out. It was a good time. You know, you got to do these things. It's great. You've been opening up for some pretty big names since you were last on our show, like Dimitri Martin, Brian Regan, Mark Norman, and Dave Attell. What were those? Yeah, those are pretty amazing names. What were those experiences like for you?
Man, it's so interesting, because it's like, they're all very lucky for a lot of them. So the Attell one was, he was really wonderful to work with at the DC Improv, very kind and complimentary and just a fun person to be around. And all these people are like, you know, they're people that I've worked with maybe once. So I worked with Dave Attell for a whole weekend, and that was like amazing. And Dimitri Martin was a last minute. I got reached out to like, hey, you've been recommended to us. He needs an opener. And that was like, I mean, I think I performed, I think it was like a sold out show, 600 people. And that was just a really, really, really fun show. And I worked pretty clean for that show, because that's what he wanted. Because that's what's interesting, is like, he works clean. And then when I worked with Brian Regan, I was hosting for him for a weekend, because my buddy Steve Rogers is his like touring, one of his touring feature acts. And I love Steve. Steve's a great, amazing comic, an amazing clean comic, so funny. And it was just a thing where like, we just had a fun time. And I think what I've noticed is how down to earth all these people are. Like Mark Norman was really nice to work with, and so these are all people that I've worked with once. And then like, I also opened for this comic Jamie Lee. She's been on HBO's Crashing, and she's one of the writers for Ted Lasso. And the coolest thing is like, she's one of my like, her and I are friends. Like, that's what's crazy. It's like, I don't just open for her, we're friends. So
Wow.
It's been pretty awesome.
That's like 7 degrees of separation. That's my favorite show, Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
I love that. Everybody should have a Ted Lasso in their life is what I keep saying.
No, I agree. Yeah. And she's great, but it's been really, I think that's been the coolest thing is like all these experiences have been very different and they've all led to different things and each experience has been different. So it's like, my buddy Chris Allen, he's one of Mark Norman's usual openers. And so like I've gotten to work with Mark a couple times. He's always been really down to earth and nice and just people. Yeah. And just finding out that like all of the people we've named are very nice and they've always been very good to me, which is very, cause you can't say that about everybody. So it's good true. To say. So
that is good to say. I'm glad you had those really great experiences.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something to be grateful for sure. Can you share with the laughers what your award-winning special, Grieving Productively, and your album, Already Aware, is about?
Yeah, so Grieving Productively, which is on YouTube, and these and note to the audience, these aren't clean. These two aren't clean. I just think that should be said.
All right.
But I will say this, is it's like people that are, So I started doing this for my mom, and it works out great. If you like my comedy, but you don't like, you know, cursing or whatever, if you go to my Instagram to watch my videos, you can watch them with the sound off. Because when I caption it, I take all the swear words out.
I was going to ask you about that. I was like, what is he doing?
And I replace it. So it's like, so that way, if you like what I do, because my jokes aren't like, I just curse. I'm not really dirty. You know what I mean? Right. Like I may be right. I would say probably 5% of my regular jokes are dirty jokes. And the other 95% are just like, I just curse in my day-to-day life. But if you like me and you don't want to see the cursing, but like you want to see all the funny stuff that I do, it's like, I have made it at least in the last 15 to 20 clips. And I'm going to continue doing that where like, if you have it with the sound off, it looks like I'm working completely clean. It's great. I'm working. I work clean with the sound off. I'm the cleanest comic in the world. So, But Grieving Productively isn't clean, and neither is it's mostly because of cursing, and then the same thing with my other album, which just has some dirty jokes on it. But it's Grieving Productively is like 40 minutes. It's like a art project style thing, but it's a 40-minute special that I edited together of like right at the beginning of the pandemic of like old shows that I'd recorded, a Zoom show that I did, scenes from me outside and doing outdoor shows. And that's like a 40-minute show about like losing my father. So it's all jokes about grief and death and loss and how to deal with that and making sure that, you know, you're able to find the humor in such a, you know, negative, sad thing. And then Already Aware is more a mix of like, it's just like an hour and 10 minutes of jokes. So I cover stuff that I talked about at the beginning of my stand-up journey and then like stuff that was new at the time that I was doing it. So it's so Grieving Productively is a very specific, like this is about this thing. And then Already Aware is more like there's like 15 minutes about teaching. There's like some jokes about guns. There's some jokes about dating. It's like all over the, you know, I talk politics, race, religion. It's like all of that's like a more regular stand-up album, and it's like 65 minutes long, 70 minutes long. And so that's more of like, hey, if you just want to hear, you know, regular jokes and you don't care if they're dirty, go listen to Already Aware. But if you're like, oh, you know, I don't mind cursing, I'm interested to see what a edited together special that like I won like best director and best in show for like I entered it into some film festivals, so people seem to react really well to that one as far as of it being like a, for lack of a better term, like a artistic piece as opposed to a just a regular stand-up special. But yeah, those are what the two things are about. One's very general and the other's very, very specific. If you don't want to listen to dead dad jokes, I wouldn't listen to Grieving Productively because that's all that it is. It's like 40 minutes of that.
Yeah. Well, that was a really well done special, though.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yes, I very much enjoyed that special. And I think the sweetest part of it was after you watch it, you have, you know, rolling credits at the end and you have your dad come up.
Yeah. I forgot that. So that was a thing where I was like just editing it. And I was like, the way that I initially had it ended was like just the credits roll and over the credits, it's a song playing and then like photos of my dad, you know, stuff like that. And then I was going through old footage and I was like, oh yeah, my dad got on stage once at a show and I forgot about that. And I found it on my YouTube. So I had to like pull it off of YouTube and edit it out. And it's just, that's like a little post credits thing where it's just like, so, cause it's like 40 minutes of talking about my dad and then you see pictures of him, but like, you don't really get to hear him. And, and I think having that and just, you know, having it to where like you can watch it and like, you know, see my dad has a good sense of humor and how proud he was of me and my brother. And yeah, that was a very, like, I was getting ready to send it off, then I was like, oh, maybe I should check some other shows, and then I saw one where he popped up and I was like, oh man, I need to put this in there. I think that's a nice little farewell and send off to him. So
that was a really nice touch. By the way, did you know that you are listed as a quote musical artist end quote on Google?
I know now. It's great. Yeah, I don't know what, if Spotify just does that when you're like when someone submits it, but like, yeah, well, you mentioned that and I went and Googled it. It's like, yeah, musical artist. And I was like, yeah, my brother was a musician. I've never in life, there's no singing in my comedy. It's very much.
I think this
don't
is
sing here.
Yes. I think this is very good social media post material.
I do. Yeah, I agree. I might have to take a picture of it and be like, yeah, you guys check out my new, got a bunch of songs coming out. I'll be singing them at the cave.
Yeah, maybe so, maybe not. I don't think so. It doesn't sound like it. But I haven't checked out You're Already Aware yet. So I'm looking forward to watching that and munching on some delicious gourmet popcorn from our sponsor, Pre-Popsterous.
Okay.
You get the munchies when you watch shows?
I do. I get the munchies all the time. I'm hungry constantly. it's become a problem.
Well, good. I'm going to add to your problems and send you some.
Please do. I love popcorn. So please.
Do you prefer salty or sweet popcorn?
I usually like both. I do like both. Like I like a nice salty, buttery, sweet, like so good. And then also like I'm a sucker for like a nice caramel coated popcorn. That's oh man, where it's like almost eating candy. Yeah, I like both of those.
Me too. I love me a good sweet and savory mix, which is why I'm munching down on this Windy City mix.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. It's a mix of their classic cheddar and what you like, the caramel flavor.
Oh man, that's awesome.
I know. I'm jealous of me right now eating.
I am jealous because I don't have any popcorn. I'm just sitting here having not eaten lunch and watching you eat.
It's really good. I'll keep telling you about it the rest of the show.
Yeah, please. And yeah, just nonstop. Tell me how good it is.
I will.
I would love that.
And laughers, you know what? Get your Pre-Popsterous today so you can munch on it when you join me for the next week's episode. And be sure to use, the discount promo code LAUGH15 when you buy some today at prepopsterous.com. That's PrePopsterous.com.
Nice.
I know. I love it. So good. All right. I'm trying to get focused here again and ask you this next question.
Yeah.
Okay, you mentioned a little bit earlier what you did for your mom about the material with the videos.
Yes.
And for those of the laughers that may not be familiar with X2 Comedy yet and its brand, X2 Comedy works with Clean Comics.
Yes.
As well as Blue Comics that agree to do a clean set, which is why we're branded as Cleanest Shows with a PG-13. This podcast is an extension of the work we do around here in the community. Mm-hmm. So with the comedy shows we actually do, you're one of the Blue Comics we work with.
Yes.
Yeah. And I wanted to ask you, do you do a lot of clean to cleanest shows outside X2 or, you know, since you started working with us these days, or would you say a majority of your gigs are Blue at this point in your career?
I think definitely a majority of the shows I do, I would say a pretty big majority of the shows are like not clean. They're just like regular, stereotypical comedy shows where like, will there be some clean comics? Will I work cleaner sometimes? Yeah, but as far as like, it's clean, people are attempting to be clean. I would say like 5% of my shows are clean. I would say 1 out of 20. So, and the majority of like, you know, the best ones are generally with y'all. So it's like, cause y'all, I don't know, y'all, you've got your brand, you got your followers, you got your fans, and it's people that really want to be there for it. And the shows are usually sold out and pretty fun. So yeah, but I would say 1 out of every 20 I'm getting to do is like a clean show.
Okay. So he's going to mix it up for you, laughers.
I am. I can do it. I can do it. I let her husband dictate what I can say. I watch his sets and he always slips up. And then I'm like, all right, I found where the line is. And if anyone's going to get mad at anybody, it's going to be Dawn at her husband. So,
you know,
that's Chris's problem, not mine.
All right, we're going to share some behind the scenes, behind stage with us comics. He does do that. And he lets me know. He's got a little pencil or a pen and a piece of paper, and he writes them down. He's like, oh, got another one. Oh,
yeah, every time. I go in and I have watched the whole show. And anytime someone, you know, talks about a topic or says a thing that I didn't know I was allowed to do, I'll write it on a little sheet of paper and I'll show it to Dawn. It's like, Dawn, I want to let you know this is what I have been okay to do by everyone else on the show. And then I don't cross that line. We keep that line. I don't cross it.
See, that's see, that's why we're clean-ish.
Yeah, it's clean-ish. You know, PG-13.
That's right. PG-13. Yeah. So there is a little wiggle room. We all have fun with that. So, laughers, that means when you come to the Cave comedy shows, you can just know that off Cave stage, there will be myself, my husband, and Winston, who is headlining back there where you can't see us.
Yeah.
And if Chris is up there and he lets one slip, then you can just envision Winston there with his pen and paper. Yeah.
And honestly, guys, if you go to the show and you feel like you can trick Dawn or Chris into saying something, I say go for it. You know what I mean? If they're talking to you and you think that you can get them to slip up, you just... it's a fun game for me. I think it's fun. I think it's funny to listen and see what y'all do. It's never anything really bad. It's just funny to, because I go in with the mindset of I'm not going to say anything, and then I'll be like, "Ooh, Chris! Oh goodness, Chris!
I know.
Oh my gosh, Professor!
He does. He dances all over that line.
Yeah, he does.
Keeping it spicy.
Yep.
But I know your mom is a fan of our brand.
Yeah, she is.
And she is coming to Cave Comedy Fest along with your girlfriend, Amanda.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm wondering, how did they react when they found out about your comedy gigs happening inside a cave?
So my mom is like my girlfriend Amanda is very, she likes things that are different. So I think she was excited it's in the cave. She likes any excuse to go on a little trip. And then my mom loves that area. So she's like really excited to go up and see it. And it, mom, it's the shows combine my mom's two favorite things that I do in comedy, which is when I work clean and when I do crowd work. So it's like, that's her two favorite things. She loves crowd work. She loves clean comedy. And so she's really, 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 really excited. She's excited to see multiple shows. She's excited to come and just like kind of just enjoy being in like a cool, beautiful place. And so my mom's very excited. Like she's counting down the days to it. So,
yeah, it is a very beautiful place. We actually did a podcast episode with them early on. I don't remember the number exactly. It's 30 something. Okay. And they talk about the Melrose Civil War Cavern. So do check that out, laughers, so you can get some idea of what you get to experience. This cave actually was used by both the Confederate and Union soldiers during the Civil War, which is why it's called Melrose Civil War Caverns.
Yeah.
And they have both the Confederate and Union soldiers' signatures that they themselves wrote on the cave walls.
That's pretty cool.
It is very cool. So they'll write their name and they'll put the year there. It is very wild and super cool. And during Cave Comedy Fest, between the multiple comedy shows, they are offering cave tours as well. So you can get an even more expanded view of that experience. It is going to be absolutely amazing. And we're super excited that you're going to be a part of it this year. This
It's going to be awesome.
It is going to be awesome. It's our second year. So it's a new name. It's shorter. It says what it is. It's also a truly unique comedy experience. And I want to ask you, how are you, Winston, approaching preparation for the four shows you are doing inside this cave? It's such an unconventional space.
It is. I've never done comedy inside of a cave. So the only thing that I'm not even concerned about, the thing that I think will be interesting is I'm approaching it being like I'm going to get there early and just kind of see what the acoustics are like, because I'm sure the acoustics are great, but you just don't know what, you know what I mean? Like, I just can't picture, because I know it's going to not, like, even if it doesn't sound different to the audience, it might feel different being on stage and doing it. And I just think, you know, I know it's like a, like you told me there was like 75 seats. So it's going to be like an intimate thing in a cave. So I'm just approaching it with the idea of like, I'm going to bring my camera. Each show is going to be completely different and unique. And I think that it's like, I would suggest people buying tickets to all four shows. That is what I suggest. they're going to be different. I do a lot of, I'm going to be doing almost exclusively. I mean, it's exclusively going to be crowd work, but I'm just going in with the mindset of like, this is going to be unique. This is going to be fun, and to just kind of enjoy it and just have fun with it. So I'm excited because I think I do the best when I feel like there's no pressure, and I have no pressure because I'm like, this is going to be in a cave. It's going to be weird and silly, and I know the show's going to be good. So I'm approaching it with just the only thing, and not even nervous, but the only thing I don't know what to expect is, what is it going to sound like? Like, I don't know if I'm going to sound like I'm yodeling, or like if I'm going to sound just like very crystal clear and crisp, like it's like how great my voice is going to sound in a cave. But I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, you bring up a very good point. When we were scouting caves in the area to do this event, you know, that's something we wondered about, like, how is that going to sound? And when we partnered with the two businesses that are doing this event with X2 Comedy, and that's Beards and Broads Axe Throwing and was entertainment and restaurant, and that's one of the businesses, and then Melrose Civil War Caverns, they had wondered the same thing. We brought the sound equipment in to check it out, and it was actually surprisingly
awesome.
Good. It didn't, I mean, there's a bit of a, you know, little echo there, but because
I think it'll be fine. Because I trust you, because I know it was like such a success last year. Yeah. And it's like I don't want to like show up and like have a joke not work, and then I just hear the joke not work 12 more times because of the echo, where it's just silence, where it's just like I say the punchline and it's just like echo, and it just keeps going. Just be like, I guess I'll just listen to that not work for. I think it's gonna be really fun. I've been you know, ever since you mentioned the shows to me months ago, and I tentatively put it in my calendar, I've been like really, really, really looking forward to it. So
yeah, it's a really great experience. And new this year, we're doing VIP tickets. We didn't do that last year. And the VIP tickets, we came up with something really, really cool, because normally you cannot bring drinks inside the cave. It's a historic cave, so they want to preserve it. But they are, for the VIP will be allowed to bring their drinks inside the cave. They will get to enter early before everyone else and choose their own seats wherever they want. And they will be the only ones that can take pictures with the comedians inside the cave after the show. So it's super cool. We're so pumped about it. We really like to think about, if we weren't a part of this, what would we want when we're putting the event together? And that's something we're super excited about. So some people, some of your social media fans will get to, and just fans in general get to take a picture with you.
VIP tickets, you can take pictures. You can be drunk in the cave. Like, there's so many. I think that's what the VIP ticket's for. Like, I think it's, let's be honest, guys. As you know, you want to drink in a cave. That sounds, no one gets to do that. You're not allowed, but you can with a VIP ticket to the comedy show. That's, you can bring it on into that historic site and have fun.
And give Winston even more material.
Yeah, come on. I love that.
How do you think this experience will differ from performing in a traditional comedy club or theater?
Anytime I'm anywhere that's not a comedy club or a theater, there's always like, are people going to act right? Because it's just like, if you're not in the space where comedy is normally happening, you feel like you can't, you know what I mean? Like this, like what rules are you allowed to break or whatever? But generally when that happens, I end up using doing crowd work. So it's like, I'm already doing crowd work. So it's going to be great. It doesn't matter. It's going to be awesome. I'm just excited. I think the major difference will be like how people will be acting. Will people, you know, just not that people will be disrespectful, but just the understanding like, hey, even though we're in a cave, this is still a performance. But because it's crowd work, it's going to go great. I'm so excited.
It is so exciting. Side note for everyone listening, because this is important to know. If you've not done cave tours before, that's something new to you. It is chilly inside caves.
Yeah.
Is it around 50 degrees? So you will want to bring a light sweater or jacket. Yeah, yeah.
And the only way you can bring a jacket in is if you have a VIP ticket. It's, if you don't have a VIP ticket, it's tank tops and shorts, mandatory flip-flops.
That was a joke, laughers. If you do forget your light jacket or sweater, there will be sweatshirts on site that you can buy in case you forget. But if you know that ahead of time, it can be helpful.
Yeah, it'll be a little, yeah, it'll be, yeah. It's cold in the cave. So yeah. Bring a little light jacket, even though it'll be, you know, the middle of July. It'll be, I'm excited. I'm so excited for it to not be 1,000 degrees when I'm on stage.
I know what you mean. And it's perfect when for the performers inside the cave, like wear the jacket off to the side. But then once you start performing, you just leave it on the
chair.
It's
going to be great.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really great. Yeah. You're going to do the crowd work, which you've been talking about. And honestly, when it comes to your crowd work, it's among the best I've ever seen.
Thank you.
You are welcome. It is super fun, laughers. Audiences love it. And I see why. How did you get good at it?
Just practice. This is like anything else in comedy. You just like have to do it. When I was early on, I like wanted to get good at it. And so I made an effort to like go places and try it. There was this, there's this comic. He ran a show that was, at this, like a country bar almost. And it would be like music and comedy. And so he would have, like a, you know, someone play 30 minutes of music and then he'd have a comedian for 15 to 20 minutes. And he asked me, this was every Wednesday. He was like, hey, he's like, you know, can you just do 30 minutes of comedy every Wednesday for like $25? And I was really new. I was like, I can do that. I said, but are you okay if I just do crowd work the whole time? And he was like, yeah, that's fine. And so that's how I, you know, learned how to do crowd work. Is there was like a 2 month period, like 8 or 9 straight Wednesdays where I did 30 minutes of just crowd work. And like the first time I went in and I was like, oh, I don't even know how to begin this. So I was just like, all right, I guess I'm just going to ask everybody what they do for a living. And I asked everybody what they did for a living and would make jokes about that. And the set went good. And the next week I was like, oh, I'll just do the, what do people do for a living thing. And I come back in there and it's the exact same audience. It's all bar regulars. So I can't ask, what do you do for a living? Cause I already know. And so I was like, okay, I'll ask, are you dating? And I did dating. And then the next week I came back and was like, oh, where are you from? And we did that. And by the fifth or sixth week, I would just come in and be like, hey, Daryl, how was your week? What's up, Dave? And so I think that really helped me get comfortable treating audience members like their friends and family and being able to get personal stories out of them. And it also led me to where it's like, I don't have a really like some crowd work styles, is not, I don't want to use the word mean, but it's more like it's mean. You know what I mean? This little meaner. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a mean. My crowd work's not mean. Mm-hmm. Everybody's having fun. Yes. We're getting to know each other. I make fun of myself more than I make fun of anybody else. I've never, you know, the only time I'm mean to someone is if they're like a really mean audience member and they're ruining the show. But outside of that, it's, and I think doing that for 8 weeks where I got to know the first people I was doing crowd work with, where these people are like, oh, these kind of people are actually becoming people in my life that I see every week and they're becoming acquaintances, I think kind of has helped me at least get on the right path to figure out what my style of crowd work would be. But yeah, just doing it. You just got to go out and you just got to practice.
Did the 30 minutes at first feel really long? And then after you got more, okay.
Yeah, really long. And now crowd work's like, you know, 30 minutes still feels long sometimes with just doing, you know, regular jokes, but crowd work, it's because of what my style is. It literally just, it feels like I've had like a 30-minute conversation where it's like, oh, I just got to meet people. And it's just like, oh, I'm just getting to be funny in conversation. And so, yeah, come to the show. I'll ask what you do for a living. I'll ask where you're from, how you know people. I'll ask you some questions you didn't think you'd ever get asked before. It'll be good, clean fun for the whole family.
That's right. And if they're VIP, you might ask them what they're drinking.
Oh, yeah, VIP. If you want to get asked what you're drinking, get that VIP ticket. All right, that's what I want to know.
How would you say, you talked a little bit about how your process kind of evolved over time. Do you think you've learned better ways as you keep doing it to interact with the audience? Do you have any tips
for
people? Okay.
Yeah, you just get better. Like, the thing that I've found is just like, you know, practice does make perfect, right? So it's like, it's just the more you do it, you learn more about yourself. And it's like, you might ask a question or do a joke the same way 20, 30 times. And then for whatever reason, if you put your reps in that 31st time, you might do it a different way and just find out, oh man, this works better. And just not being afraid to bomb, not being afraid to experiment, where it's like, there'll be a lot of times where I'm doing really, really well on stage and I'll have a question where I'm like, I don't know if this question will be funny at all, but I know that I'm doing so well that I can ask this question. And if it doesn't get a laugh, I'm not going to like lose any momentum. Like, I can just go back to the stuff that I know that works. So I just like to experiment a lot, and just especially on the shows that are like crowd work. Like, I think when we did Pure Shenandoah and the Elks Lodge, like, those were both sets that I did pretty much all crowd work in anyway, because I could just pick up the vibe that that's kind of what they felt like they wanted to hear. Mm-hmm. And just the like at the Pure Shenandoah, like allowing myself to experiment when they had the lights and the smoke machine and being able to be like, I don't know if it's going to be funny, but I'm going to like do a big physical bit. Like, I'm going to do, you know, stuff like that I don't normally do. And then with the Elks Lodge, just being like, you know what? These people are like, they all know each other.
Yeah.
Like, so let's just like play them off of each other and just letting myself experiment and just being like, you know what? Even if it turns out to where they're talking more, or like, I'm not asking, you know, I'm asking different questions or just like getting to know them. And so just, yeah, I would say that just giving yourself room to experiment and not being afraid to try something different, as long as you take the information that you get and adjust, like, okay, they didn't like that, so I probably won't do that again. Or like, oh, they really like that, I should start doing it like this.
Mm-hmm. And the way they let you know they like it is they're laughing and having,
yeah, laughing, time, smiling, not throwing their beer at me. That that's generally, yeah. Which I have never had a, knock on wood, I've never had a drink thrown at me. I've had, you know, other stuff happen when people are upset, but a drink, yeah, that's not one.
Yeah,
that I've had happen. Yeah.
Let's hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah, because you will. It's a historical thing. You'll get arrested.
That's right. We don't.
VIP. You're not allowed to throw beer. You can drink it, but you're not allowed to toss it around the room.
That's right. We want VIPs without the drama.
Yes, please.
Yes, please. You talked earlier about putting videos out more frequently on your social media. I wonder, is there a lot involved in doing that? How do you manage your time to put out videos every day?
Yeah.
What is the length of your video clips that you put out?
So I try to keep, right now I post every day to Instagram, and then I don't post every day to TikTok, and I don't post every day to YouTube, but like I've been focusing on Instagram because that's where I've seen the most success and growth recently. And I'm trying to I would say about 6 or 7 weeks ago, I was at about 8,000 Instagram followers, which I had built up from 2,000 the previous year. So I'd gone up 6,000 in a year, which had felt good. And then I just started got a better quality camera, went back to trying to do a clip every single day. And even if it's I don't have a new clip, I'll go get an old clip and repost it. But I try to make sure my clips are a minute or less, or 90 seconds or less, because that's the length of Instagram reels. Mm-hmm. But a minute or less is the ideal range for me to do the reels, to try to get followers and try to get people. The amount of work is I have to do the set, I have to record it, I have to upload the video to my computer. I then edit the video in iMovie down to the clips that I want, export that file to an MP4 file. I then download that to Dropbox, download it off of Dropbox onto my phone to where I can put that. The only type of editing I do is I put the captions and I resize the video so that it's because I'm filming in cinematic view. So it's mm-hmm. you're watching a movie, but everything on Instagram Reels is supposed to be the shape of your phone. So you have to resize it so that you're not getting the whole picture. And I would say now, and it used to take me a long time to do all that, but I have now got it down to a science. So it's the longest part is the initial editing of the video where it's I have to find the clip, export it. And it's that, but now that maybe takes 5 minutes because I know where the funny is. I export that, download it. I can get a clip done now in about 15 to 20 minutes. And wow. Yeah, which is but it used to take me so much. I used to get so mad. And, but then you just learn how to quickly do it. You learn how to not cut corners, but you're I know this is the boom, boom. This is how I knock it out. But I've seen a lot of growth. And so I've grown from 8,000 to 20,000 in the last month and a half. And I've had several videos one got 2.2 million right now, and the other one's right at a million. And then a bunch of other ones that are in the 100 to 400,000 range. And just when you're posting consistently, it gives people that follow you something to look to. And so my next step is right now I pretty much just post jokes and crowd work. And I think the next step is just getting out of my comfort zone and doing more characters or sketches or just things that I think people might want to share more than just regular stand-up, to try to give people, let them see what my personality is and try to bring more people to shows like that. But yeah, I would say posting consistently and then finding something you enjoy posting, because it can be a chore to do. And when it's a chore, people put off their chores. People don't always do them. So when you start posting stuff that brings you joy, and you start to see the people positively reacting and people wanting to see more videos from you, and you start to see your followers grow, it makes it easier to do different things or work hard and post more clips. Cause you're oh, I'm seeing the fruits of my labor are paying off. So.
I have a technical question about
that
work. Yes. It is the captions. I see a lot of comics do the captions. Yeah. I don't know how to do that. How do you do that?
You just got to get an app. There's you can just look up any cat. There's a lot of captioning apps where it's there's some that'll auto caption for you. And then you have to it'll caption it to the best of its ability. And then you can go in and change it. And then there's other ones that you can just do it. So like CapCut, people use InShot. I use Mix Captions. I mean, you can put captions on and video editing programs too. Mm-hmm. That's the most time consuming part of it. is the captioning. But it's important because there's people that watch videos when they're not supposed to be watching videos. And that's mainly why people do it, is people are at work watching videos. And if you want people to enjoy your video or enjoy your comedy while they're at work instead of doing their job, you need to caption your videos. So
yes, I am aware. I'm aware of this. What advice would you give to aspiring comedians who are just starting out?
Oh, man, you should just go to as many open mics as you possibly can and make friends with other comics. And if you're new, you should be watching the entire show. I know a lot of times when you go to an open mic, you want to hang out and you want to talk to your friends. But I can say that I've been doing stand-up about 8 years, and then my first year or two, I would watch almost the entirety of the mic because I think it's helpful to see what other people are talking about, seeing what other people are doing that works, gauging yourself against what other people are doing to see where you can improve and what you can work on. And I said also, it's just like, I don't know, at the beginning when you're making friends or whatever, supporting each other, I think, is really important in building like a community. But the main thing is performing as much as you possibly can and not getting in the mindset of, oh, this audience is stupid, this audience is dumb. It's like, no, it's I think that, you know, I always heard you should never blame it on the audience. And I'm a firm believer that until you're great at comedy, you should never blame it on the audience. And then once you get good, yes, sometimes it is the audience's fault. But it is. But if you're not good yet, it's probably your fault that you didn't figure out a way to make them laugh. But I would say the biggest one is like working hard, going to open mics, because there is absolutely no substitute for performing. It's the only way you can figure out how to do it.
I agree with that. And you never know who's there. And there are other comics like myself who produce shows.
Yeah, they book shows. That's how you get on shows, is you go and you do your best and you try hard and you get to meet people and you just.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say that the working hard. And then, you know, just since this is about clean comedy, I will say that, like, even having 5 minutes of material that you can do clean, it just opens the door to a lot of other work. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say, oh, everything you do has to be clean, mm-hmm. but it's just like, look at your jokes. If you're not talking about, you know, really dirty stuff, 9 times out of 10, you can make a joke clean just by not cursing in it. Like, there's a lot of comics I know that are like, oh, I don't work clean. And then I like, we'll talk to them about their jokes. And I'm like, this could be clean if you change this to this. This could be clean if you did that. And, you know, and there's like all these things you can do. But I would say, as far as like, you want to get as much stage time as possible. You want to be able to work things. And generally, you can do both. Like, I think I'm pretty, you know, proof positive that you can do both things. And like, I'm going to do 4 1-hour crowd work sets that are completely clean. And then I'm sure the following week I'll be doing my regular shows headlining like around the area as well. So there's nothing wrong with, you know, writing a little clean and having something, especially early on, while you're trying to find your voice and find out what works for you comedically. Just, you know, it's also doesn't hurt to try to do things you're not good at. Cause I know a lot of people that are like, oh, I'm not good at writing clean comedy. It's like, yeah, but you can try, you know, worst case is you're still bad at it. Best case, you find out you have another talent and you can figure something else out.
Yeah. I think regardless, it helps you flex your comedy muscles.
Yeah. Cause also, you know, the goal, like in comedy, it's like being a full-time only stand-up is like near impossible to do. So like you all, like when you do comedy, it's like you have to be a lot of stand-up comedians, like the way they become successful is they get a writing job for a television show. And it's like, and you have to be able to write not crazy dirty stuff all the time. Like if you want that, it's just nice to be able to write in different styles and different voices so that if you ever get the opportunity to do a job or work a gig, you don't have to be like, oh, I can't do that. Even if you're, you know, not the best at it, you want to be able to take the job and get better. Cause it's like, if you want to, you know, make comedy your profession, which I think a lot of people that are doing stand up would love to do. That's the dream. So
it is the dream. And I like how you pointed out it's about reps. And if we're going to get better at anything, can use fitness as an example. If you want to get fitter, then you need to do the additional reps, the additional steps, you know, but so
you got to put in the work.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not everybody thinks like that. When you're really new and you do have a little something, you can kind of go through this. Oh, well, I'll arrive and Netflix will call me next week.
Yeah.
And there really and no shortcuts. There are really no shortcuts.
There's not. And like, here's the deal. There's maybe been, you know, in the history of comedy, you know, there might be a handful of people that were so naturally gifted that they could figure out a way to make it their gig and they don't, you know what I mean? Don't have to do the reps or the hard work. But I'm a believer that like, man, those people could have been even better if they put the work in. So it's like, yeah. So I don't know. I don't think there's a lot of substitution. There's no substitution for hard work. So even if you are already good and you're doing well, imagine how much better you'd be if you like also worked and could unlock a few things that you're not even capable of doing right now. So,
yeah. Yeah. That reminds me too, what you said earlier about don't be afraid to bomb. Were you ever afraid to bomb?
Oh yeah. You know, always. I hate bombing so much, but you have to like, at least like, even though there's the fear of doing it, you have to at least, you don't want to get complacent. You don't want to do the same stuff over and over again. You want to be able to be like, you want to just have the freedom to experiment and like, you know, and that's not to say, oh, you should go out and bomb all the time. It's like, no, you should try to do well, but it's just be like, sometimes what's the funniest is the stuff that is the riskiest to try, where you're like, I don't know if this is going to work here. I don't know if these people understand this, but let's try it. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't work and you have to just understand that that is part of the process, is sometimes stuff is not going to work.
When it rarely does happen to you now, I know that. But when it did,
I bombed last night.
Did you?
I got back from the Bahamas and immediately went to an open mic and I was like, man, this was woo. I had all new stuff and then the open mic was poorly attended and no one was enjoying the comedy and I was like, I'm glad I left my house for this, man. This was nice. What a wake up call that I'm not in the Bahamas anymore. Go to an Irish bar and bomb.
That makes me feel good because it wasn't bad, but we had a recent performance, really not even close to bad.
Yeah,
but it wasn't actually our A game either.
Yeah,
you know, for Chris and I, and so we had to bounce back from that. And I think it gets quicker the more you do it.
Oh yeah, you just get more.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I bomb all the time. So,
well, you know what? If you're going to bomb, an open mic's a great place. That's supposed to be where you experiment. Yeah,
that's
anyway.
Where you bomb. And then when your jokes get good, you go
on a paid show and do them there. Yeah. Yeah. That's one thing I'm getting really passionate about. We're working with more local comics. It's just that educational piece about comedy in general.
Yeah.
You go to an open mic, that's where you experiment.
Yeah.
But if somebody is paying you to be on a show, they're paying you to be funny. So you want to make sure you bring the jokes you know that works to a paid show.
Now,
of course,
pros
know that, but new people that are transitioning to pros need to learn that. But that's really good advice. So what would you say is you found for you the quickest way to help you bounce back? Is it a mindset? Is it something you tell yourself? Do you go to another
a mindset.
One?
Okay. I mean, also just doing, you know, I just do so many, when you do, that's another positive of doing so many shows is I'll do like 12 to 20 shows a week. So it's like, if a show doesn't go well, I'm on my way to another show. So it's like, you just do another one. And then when you've done as many as I've done and you start to really see like, oh, I do, you know, I might bomb this number of times, but I do well this number of times. So it's like, you know, the bombing, if you do a ton of sets, you start to just be like, oh, the bombing is the outlier. I'm doing better more often than I'm bombing. And that just kind of helps put it in a better it's like understanding. And this puts it in a better frame of reference for me where I can just be like, okay, this is fine. Like it's okay. I'm not happy that I bomb, but also it's like, it's not the end of the world because I'm on my way to another show and the last 12 shows I did were really good. So
numbers,
just having
game.
A good perspective was the word I was searching for. Yeah. Just having a positive and like reasonable perspective on like what you're doing and just understanding like, hey, shows aren't the same as each other. You can't, you know, rate them apples to apples. It's like, they're very different. Every show's very different. It has a different life to it, a different energy, depending on the comics and the audience. It's like a living organism. And sometimes, you know, it's not going to work out. And then when you bomb, also just realizing that like 99% of the time, no one cares that you bombed and they won't remember that you bombed. Like they forget true. You as soon as they forget you as soon as the show's over.
Yeah. They remember if they laughed. I've noticed that.
Yeah. They remember if they like you.
Yep. They remember that.
and they remember if you had a complete and total meltdown. That's the only two. That's it. If you're doing great, they remember it. And then if you just like lose it, those people will never forget you. If they might not remember your name, but they'll remember the night that the comic lost their mind and started screaming at everybody. Yeah. I've seen that happen.
That's what I was going to say. I've never seen you do that. Have you ever done that?
Oh, I mean, yeah, I've absolutely lost on stage a couple times. Yeah, every comic has done it a few times, I think, for the most part. It's just you do enough shows, and there's just sometimes where you have other stuff going on in your life, and someone's being really disrespectful, and you're like, not today. I was like, I'm not, no. You know, when your pride, you know, gets to you, or you're like, no, I'm not. No, when you don't care about the show anymore, you're like, you know what? But that's very few and far between. I'll have that happen. That happens to me like once every few years. You just gotta let it out and just be like, all right, that's good. On to the next show.
It sounds like it's a bit instigated by someone that.
Yeah, sometimes, or you're just doing so poorly, and like you don't understand why you're doing poorly, and like you're just bombing so hard, and you're trying hard, and like maybe like all your other life stuff isn't going good either, and so you're just like there's nothing to fall back on, and then you just see people just like snapping. You're like, oh yeah, they're snapping because something at home is not going great.
A little perfect storm situation.
Yeah, that's the trouble at home is what that is.
It gives people something to talk about and remember, like you said.
Yeah.
What's coming up for you next besides the awesome inside?
Oh, man, let's look at my calendar. I got a bunch of stuff coming up in the D.C. area, like Arlington, Alexandria, Fairfax, D.C., Maryland. I just got a bunch of cool shows coming up and some headlining opportunities. And, you know, I got some other comedy things that hopefully work out. They're not on the schedule yet. So, but honestly, you know, I'm really looking forward to these shows in July. So I think those are going to be great. And I think all your listeners should buy tickets.
I do too.
For the shows.
It's incredible. This is just our second year and
sell it out. And then we can add a 6:30 AM show. We'll do 6:30 in the morning. VIP. There'll be a church service after the show.
With mimosas.
Yeah. With mimosas.
That's what we would love to do is add shows.
A brunch show would be fun, yeah.
Oh, that would be really fantastic. And we see this growing in the years to come to be able to add more shows and more days. So come on out and support.
Yeah, come out, buy tickets.
Yes, and fill the house. There'll be plenty to do.
Please.
Have you ever played? Yeah, please. Have you ever played Jelly Ball? Do you even know what that is?
I don't know what that is.
Right.
At all.
So Melrose Caverns has Jelly Ball. I think it sounds like sort of like a Nerf gun game in a way.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yeah. But we're going to have cornhole too. And there's axe throwing outside lawn activities. And in the food and beverage garden, we have Bricks and Columns Vineyards and Russ's Moons Brewery.
Nice.
One Tribe Farms food truck and Pre-Popsterous. We'll be there.
Ooh,
also.
They'll be there.
We're looking at adding another thing, but we can't say right now until we sort that out. But
very
there's
cool.
going to be lots of cool stuff and lots of fun people and good times inside and outside the cave. So be
yeah,
sure.
I can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be a total good time. Well, as we wrap up here, how can people best follow you on social media or otherwise to connect with you and get more information?
Yeah, the easiest one is winstonhodges.com because it's got links to all my stuff. But I would say that like where if you want to follow me and see the most accurate where am I going to be next or contact me is at Winston H Comedy. So first name, last initial, comedy. That's my email. But at Winston H Comedy on Instagram. That's where I'm the most up to date on there. I post a ton of stuff and I post every day. So like, share, subscribe, do all that fun stuff. But yeah, that's where I would recommend following me is Instagram.
Yes. And then you can see his short video clips and how he edits for his mom.
Yep.
Now
you
want to
clean, turn
about.
The sound off. Yep. If you want to clean, turn the sound off. I got you covered.
Either way, he does. That's perfect for our brand too. We appreciate it. And Laffers, we'll put that information, his information, in the show notes for you. So if you're working out or driving, please stay safe. When you stay put, you'll get what you need. Plus, we'll also have for you that discount promo code LAFF15 to buy your delicious gourmet popcorn at prepopsterous.com in the show notes for you as well. And thank you for coming on the show, Winston.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, you bet. It has been such a blessing. I love hanging out with you. Super
it's been
fun. I know. Wish I lived in D.C. I'd hang out with you on a
Amanda. I know. We would. I'm excited for July. It's going to be fun.
It is. And Laffers, you can see Winston perform live inside a cave as your headliner for our Cave Comedy Fest. It's a fun fest with multiple X2 comedy shows in a cave with Winston as your headliner. Yours truly, that's me, and JMU's funny professor, Chris Womack. We will also have two shows that feature rising local comics known as the Basement Comics. So come out and support them as they continue in elevating their craft. You can also take cave tours and enjoy beards and broads, axe throwing outside, like we said, on festival grounds with all the food, wine, beer, and other activities you can enjoy. Plus, 10% of the proceeds benefit Living Waters Freedom Initiative, which is a nonprofit for vets helping vets. So you're even supporting a great cause. Seating is limited inside the cave, so buy your tickets today at x2comedy.com or at melrosecaverns.com/comedy. And don't miss out. We can't wait to see you there. And lastly, and most importantly, thanks for tuning in, Laffers. Out of all the podcasts out there, you picked us. And we think that's pretty darn special, just like you. Until next time, keep smiling. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday, so check back for another uplifting episode. Come to an X2 Comedy show or let us bring one to you. To find out more, head to x2comedy.com. Be sure to share this podcast with a friend, and until next time, cheers.